Amen. Well, happy birthday, church. Today is, like I said, the seventh birthday, 7 years since the fountain officially touched ground. We launched from the launch pad, I guess you could say, and God has done so many things. That was a video recapping a little bit of what God has done in this past year. That's just 1 year, so maybe you saw some familiar faces, and I think all of us can look back on what God is doing in our lives. If you've been around the fountain long enough, God has been at work, and you know, there's a lot of things that has changed in 7 years, or since we launched 7 years ago, and a lot of things that have stayed the same. One of the things that's changed is I'm older, right? I get a little bit more gray hair than I did then. But one of the things that has always stayed the same is our mission. One of the things that always stayed the same is our vision of leading people to life, hope, purpose, and wholeness through Jesus Christ. We are passionate about helping people to experience the abundant life and purposeful living that Jesus came to bring us, that Jesus came to lead us into. One of the things that has always stayed the same is our passion to reach this community with the love of Jesus. One of the things that's changed, though, is our ability to do that is happening so many different ways and so many different things from the ways people are serving and so many things. And, you know, whether you're here, you've been here for a long time, or whether you're here for the very first time today, I want you to know that you're all part of the story of what God is writing here at the Fountain, what God is wanting to do. And, you know, what I want you to know is that we've come today to celebrate, not to point to the Fountain and to point to us organizationally and to say, yay, way to go, Fountain. No, no, no. This is about Jesus. It's always been about Jesus, and it always will be about Jesus. And so today, we're just pausing to remember what God has done and to look ahead to the reality that God will do even greater things in the future. One of our core values as a church is we will constantly celebrate what God is doing. And that's kind of a personal thing for me because I have a tendency, I'm a fast mover, I like to move on to the next new thing, but I had to teach my own self to rest and to celebrate what God is doing now. And we've been doing that as a church, and so it's a spiritual discipline for us. So today we're starting a brand new series called Heroes. And let me ask you this question as we're getting started. How many of you, be honest, how many of you wanted to be a superhero when you grew up? How many of you are in that category? Yeah, a few people. You know, I can still see some of you wearing the masks and everything. So anyway, well, you know, I love superhero stuff, and I love it even more now that I have boys. I have a couple boys, and I have a girl, and she thinks she's a superhero too, which is awesome. And so, but when I just had two kids last year, my son Peyton is 6 years old. And he's really into superhero stuff. We'll see one of our kids running through the house with a mask on right now. And sometimes Daddy will play as well and run through the house as well. And Mandy wonders if she's got an extra kid. But one time last year, before we had our third child, I decided to take my son Peyton on a dude's night out, you know, on a boy's night out. And we decided to go see the new Spider-Man movie. And I was so excited. We've watched some Batmans and some Spider-Mans and Avengers stuff. And so his little, I guess he was five at the time, his little five-year-old heart was so happy, right? We get to go to a real movie theater and watch real superheroes, Dad. Like, that's right, buddy. Only the best, you know? And so we got to the movie theater. We were so excited. And he got this massive tub of popcorn. And for a 5-6-year-old, you know, that's awesome. You know, we had a massive drink. And so we were prepared to have this amazing movie time watching the Spider-Man movie. Well, about 15 minutes into the movie, it was getting really good, and I turned to look at him because I was like, this is good, and I want to see how he's enjoying this thing that we're doing together. And I looked at him, and he was dead asleep on the armrest. It was like Cinderella when the clock strikes midnight, you know, at the ball. He was out. You know, he was done. He was so happy and so excited, but he just could not make it through the night. And I had a choice to make in that moment as a parent. Do I do the good parent thing, and do I scoop his tired little body out of the seat, and do I walk him home to do what a good parent should do, or do I sit there all by myself and watch this superhero movie and eat all the popcorn? What do you think I did? Yeah, number two, right? So anyway, I think that there's something inside of all of us where we all long to be a hero in some kind of way. We all long to be a hero, in fact, really a superhero. In fact, next Sunday, I want to let you know that you're going to get an opportunity to do that. We like to have fun here at the Fountain. It's not all fun and games. We tell you about Jesus, but we think that church should be fun. And so next Sunday, we want to help you to live out your superhero fantasy, because next week you're welcome to wear superhero stuff to church, okay? You're welcome to wear superhero stuff to church if you want to. And for those of you who don't wear them, we'll just assume you are a superhero, all right? But I think there's something inside of all of us where we want to be a superhero. And I think we want to see, we watch these guys and these women who are superheroes, and there's something in us that says, I want to be a part of something bigger too. I want to overcome evil with so much good. I want to be the one that saves the day, that wins the prize, that helps people in a great way. And I think that superheroes are kind of like our lives as Christians, if you think about it. Because superheroes, every superhero has some kind of superpower. So they have some kind of unique power that sets them apart. Think about Captain America. Captain America's got a shield. Thor has this, I guess it's a hammer, it's a hammer. You think of somebody like Batman, and he's not even that special. He's just rich, and he's got so many gadgets, He's got the Batmobile and all these crazy things, right? Spider-Man, he's got spider strength and the ability to shoot webs. Every superhero has a superpower. And in the same way, just like us, every superhero in the movies, although they're powerful, they also all tend to have some type of character flaw. Everybody has, it seemed, all superheroes he seem to be equally flawed under the surface, under the mask. In fact, you think about us, you think about Superman, and what is his flaw? It's kryptonite, right? It's kryptonite. For somebody like Spider-Man, although he looks so powerful with the gear on, when he takes his mask off, he's kind of a shy and maybe a little bit awkward teenage boy, And so I think there's something in superheroes that we can relate to with our lives as Christians. Because I want to tell you today that although kryptonite, that may not be our flaw, but today I really believe that as Christians we have a kryptonite of sorts. And our kryptonite, our character flaw, tends to be things like worry and doubt and insecurity and weaknesses and things and times when we start to say, well, God, I don't think that you can use somebody like me because of who I am and what we see under the mask. And so here's what I want to show you today, and this is good news for you. And here's what it is. I want to share with you today that not all superheroes wear masks. Not all superheroes wear masks. Because when God looks at you and when God looks at me, God sees incredible potential. Incredible potential, the raw material, not in your abilities, not in your own power, but God looks at you and sees a vessel that he can use. God sees a vessel that he can work through. In fact, I want you to know that once you give your life to Jesus, if you're a follower of Jesus, when you trust Jesus to be the savior of your sins and the leader of your life, that's what it means to be a Christian. When you trust Jesus to do those things, you are given access to superpowers of sorts, I guess you could say. You're given access to a power source that enables you to make a big impact in this world. And the Apostle Paul talks about that in Ephesians chapter 1. And so if you have your Bibles or device, you're welcome to turn there. We're going to follow on the screen. This is a letter that the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus. And he's praying a prayer over these Christians in Ephesus, and he sees something in them. And what we're going to do today is we're going to read it backwards, not right to left, thank God. That wouldn't make any sense. But we're gonna start with the end verses, and then we're going to jump to the verses that come right before that. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 1, starting with verse 19, reading in the New Living Translation. It says this. Paul prays this. He says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Like, okay, sometimes when you read Paul, it's like, what did you just say? Let's back it up. Let's read again. Verse 19. Here's what Paul prays. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of what? Of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the place of honor at God's right hand, the right hand of the throne of God, the right hand of where our heavenly Father sits. It says that Jesus is at his right hand, which is a symbol of his power. And so at honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. And so, you know, Paul, what he's praying about is that we would begin to understand, that we would begin to see, we would begin to realize that a superpower is available to all of us, and we don't even realize it sometimes. And that superpower is the very power and presence of God that's available to us. In fact, the word here for power is even more interesting. In the Greek language, we don't pull out Greek all the time, but in this sense, it's really cool. The Greek word here that Paul uses for power is the word dunamis. Dunamis. And the word dunamis, this is where we get the word dynamite. That's awesome, right? How many of you like to play with fireworks, right? So you're not going to raise your hand because we're in Georgia and that used to be illegal. I get that. So anyway, dunamis is the same word for power. And it literally means a force, a miraculous power, or the explosive power of God. Some of you are probably jumped right there. You know, like my son, maybe you were asleep on the armrest. But this is what it is. He's saying, and so what Paul is saying here, what Paul is telling us is my prayer is that you would begin to understand the incredible greatness of the dunamis, the dynamic, the explosive power of God that is available to you. And if you're a Christian, he says that explosive power of God is not around you and not just abstractly there, but he's living inside of you. Now, I find that hard to believe because you read about God's power at work in the scripture, and so many times we see it. We see God's power at work in the scripture. I mean, we see that by God's power, you may remember how God parted the Red Sea for Moses and for the Israelites. And we talked about this a few weeks ago, how God, by his power, he parted the Red Sea, and the waters stood at attention in the face of its creator. And the people of God were able to walk into their newfound freedom because of God's power. We see in Scripture that by God's power, Joshua and the Israelites marched around the city of Jericho one time a day for 6 days. And on the seventh day, God says, I want you to march 7 times around. And instead of going into battle, march 7 times around. You know, they're doing the marching band thing. And they're like, why are we doing this, God? God's like, just trust me, do it. And after you march 7 times, blow your trumpet and give a loud shout. And when they did, the walls of Jericho came tumbling down by God's power. By God's power, God helped these guys who were standing up for their faith in the middle of a culture that was so difficult. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were thrown in a fiery furnace, God rescued them from the flames. God helped Daniel, who was in a lion's den for the same type of reason, to be freed from the lion's den and to be saved. And by God's power, Jesus, he healed the sick. He clothed the naked. He made the blind to see. And last week we saw how Jesus, by God's power, had the ability to tell paralytics to get up, to take your mat and walk, and they did. By God's power, God did incredible things, but Paul takes it a step further, and he said, oh, that was great. But you got to understand that the same dunamis, the same power, the explosive power of God that raised Christ Jesus from the dead lives in you. It's this resurrection power. So it means no matter what brokenness is in our life, God has the power to resurrect it. No matter what difficulty is in our life, God has the power to resurrect it. God brings resurrection power in our lives. And I love this picture because the cross and resurrection always go hand in hand. Because what Jesus demonstrated on the cross is the greatest act of love anybody could ever see. It's when God himself in Jesus went to the cross to die for our sins, for something that we couldn't earn for ourselves, our salvation. He died literally in our place so that we could have life, so that we could have a connection with God. And that was awesome. You know, everybody's watching it and saying, that's amazing, but oh, that cross When Jesus took his last breath, everybody thought it was over. I mean, it was such a sad day because everybody thought that, you know, the grave had the final word. You know, there's zeros on the clock. It is done. The movement of Jesus was over, so they thought. But what we see with the resurrection is that on the third day, on Easter Sunday, Jesus rose from the grave. And he showed us the incredible power, the dunamis of God, that nothing in your life, and not even death, can keep you from the love of God. Not even death could keep him in the grave. Not even death could stand in the way from the explosive power of God. And what Paul is saying to you and to me this morning is this: guys, you need to know your superpower. You need to know your superpower. Now, I love, we watch a lot of kids' movies at our house, and one of the movies we've watched recently is Incredibles 2. How many of you have seen Incredibles 2? Yeah, it's really fun. In fact, that might be a good idea for you to wear next Sunday. It's just a mask. Don't wear spandex. Don't do that next week. Or you can, and we'll accept you and love you just as you are, but don't wear spandex, you know? We'll have a come to Jesus meeting. But anyway, so in Incredibles 2, there's this great scene. Don't think about that too long. There's this incredible scene in Incredibles 2 where the baby, Jack-Jack realizes that he has superpowers. In fact, Jack-Jack is in a room and he sees a raccoon through the window. And Jack-Jack presses up against the window and all of a sudden, he goes through the window. And he starts to realize, well, this is kind of cool. He's a little baby. Now, I'm so thankful we don't have Jack-Jacks in our kids' ministry because we're really big about security, but we can't, you know, if you can walk through a wall, you know, that's a talent, right? So he goes through the wall and he goes after this raccoon. And the raccoon thinks, oh, I got this baby. I'll take you on. And all of a sudden, Jack-Jack multiplies into multiple Jack-Jacks, right? And the raccoon's like, uh-oh, this is not good. So he had the ability to multiply. And then, as the raccoon is starting to get away, Jack-Jack starts shooting lasers out of his eyes. Here's Jack-Jack right here, little baby Jack-Jack, shooting lasers out of his eyes. See, the thing is, he had a superpower inside of him that he didn't even realize until that moment when he started to see it come alive in him. Now, I want you to know that you need to know that you've got superpower. And the superpower is not your own ability. It's what God wants to do in you. It's his power. You know, when God calls you to something or when God wants to use you in some way, the good news is that it's not about your ability. It doesn't matter about your weaknesses or your strength. It doesn't matter about, you know, sometimes I like to look at a problem and with all the human ingenuity, I try to figure it out. But when God calls you to something, it's all about your connection to God. In fact, your superpower is God himself, his power living in you, working in you, molding you into who he wants you to be, and then sending you out so that God can work in and through your life. And so here's the bottom line I want to share with you today, and it's this, is that heroes are ordinary people who rely on the supernatural power of God. Heroes are ordinary people like you and me, who rely on the supernatural power of God. Just read your Bible and you start to realize there's a whole lot of ordinary people, but God did incredible things in their lives because of his power. But the problem is, I think the God-centered hero in our lives, the God-centered hero inside of us, has a character flaw as well. And the character flaw for many of us is this reality that we tend to magnify all the reasons that God couldn't use somebody like us. We start to look at our own weaknesses and we say, well, God can't use somebody like me. We look at our insecurities and we say, well, God can't use somebody like me. Many of us, we look at things that we did a long time ago in the past that have held us back in relationships and in our relationship with God, that have held us back from maybe even walking in the doors of a church. And we look at that thing and we say, God could never love and God can never work in somebody like me. But I love the heart of our Heavenly Father. I love how the story of the prodigal son, how the prodigal son who had been so far from God, how he comes back home with his tail between his legs, back to his father's house, wondering if he could just work in his father's house to be a slave. And it's a picture of God here. When his father sees him on the horizon, he doesn't wait on him to get there and, you know, tap his feet like, boy, where have you been? No. The Father, it's a picture of our Heavenly Father. He sees this prodigal son who'd been lost and wayward for so long, and he sprints to him. He runs to him when he sees him on the horizon. And when he gets to him, he doesn't come with a talk about where you've been and what have you done. He throws his arms around him as if to say, "Welcome home, son. Welcome home." That's the love God has for you. And that's how much God wants to work in your life. You know, Brené Brown once wrote a book called Daring Greatly. And in the book, she says that most people are driven by a scarcity mindset when it comes to our own lives. We have a scarcity mindset with our own lives. We come to God with a scarcity mindset about our abilities or all the things that we can do. And the character flaw inside of us, it tends to make us go into some situations in business, in our family, in relationships, and we come to situations and we tend to say this phrase, "I am never blank enough. I am never blank enough." And the reason I left it blank is because how you fill in the blank differs from person to person. How you fill in the blank will differ from situation to situation. I am never blank enough, right? This is this moment where we start to say, "Well, I'm never smart enough. Like, I'm never talented enough. I'm never educated enough. I'm never experienced enough." Help me out. What are some other ones? I'm never. What are some other things? Never rich enough. What else? Never cool enough. Yeah. What are some other ones? How about this side of the room? You got any ideas? Never skinny enough, yeah, like, woo. I'm never patient enough as a parent. I'm never enough, right? And what happens is we beat ourselves up with this reality of what, and it's not what God sees in us. Because when God sees you, remember, he sees a vessel that he can use. He sees the raw potential of not how good you are and not what you've done and how good you've been, but God sees what he can do when you put your life in his hands. And so the good news is this: God's power was designed to work through ordinary vessels. Sign me up. You know, when God called me into ministry, I was 17 years old, maybe 18. I was in my senior year of high school, and I felt like an extremely ordinary vessel. Like, God, how could you call? How could you use somebody like me? Like, I'm not old enough. I'm not experienced enough, right? All these things, right? And then, you know, I had gifts and talents and stuff like that, but all I saw were the things under the surface that I'm not enough. And I remember I was praying for an opportunity. I was praying for an opportunity for God to let me see if I could. I was actually good at ministry. And I was praying for an opportunity. I went off to college and praying for this opportunity, remember? And I found myself in an office of a very big church who didn't have a youth group. And they said to me, "Andy, we don't know what we need, but we're going to give you whatever the resources you need in order to start a youth group at our church." And I remember walking out of that meeting feeling like, whoa, this is over my head. Like, you know, when you pray those prayers, "God, use me," God will always answer that prayer, right? God will always answer. And what I found is that as I started bringing this empty vessel to God, God started to do something incredible through it. Although it might have been raw, although I didn't have it all figured out, God started to use me. And the story has continued over and over and over. So I want you to know that ordinary is not a barrier for God. You know, one of the most frustrating things in life, in our time in 2019, is running out of cell phone battery. Amen? For you teenagers in the room, it's like the world ends when your cell phone dies, right? I feel like this. Sometimes I'll watch TV on the couch, and every once in a while I'll fall asleep on the couch, and I have not plugged in my phone all night. And Mandy, I guess, is being nice, and she'll just let me sleep there. Or maybe I'm in the doghouse. I don't know. Do we need to talk about that? I'm kidding. You know, when your cell phone runs out of battery, it's one of those things like, well, you start to realize that no matter how good your battery is, every vessel has limited power. And the same is true for you. Now, maybe you didn't come to church to hear that, but it really is good news when you start to realize where your power is. Because I want to tell you that you are a limited vessel. In fact, so many times in our life, we try to run, like the Energizer Bunny, trying to do everything to keep going and going and going. And you weren't made with that capacity. In fact, that's why God says, I want you to work 6 days and I want you to take one day as the Sabbath to rest and to worship so you can remember me, remember that I'm your power, that I'm your source, and also go have fun, right? This is what it was for. At the same time, nobody was given the capacity, infinite capacity, to accomplish everything that God has called you to alone. In fact, in order for God to use you, when your life gets connected to God, there was a power, there was a source that God has and can put inside of you. That when your life is connected with God, an empty vessel, there is no power shortage. God can work in and through you. So here's the first big idea I want to share with you today, and it's this. Number one is that God in you means God can work through you. God in you means that God can work through you. I mean, you may get to a point in your life where you feel like, I don't have anything left in the tank. You may feel like, wow, well, what God is calling me to is over my head. I remember Stephen Furtick saying one time that what is often over our head, we got to remember is under his feet. He's got the power. He's got the ability because he's Lord. And so what I've learned in my life is that God, what it means for us is heroes just know their superpower. You know, Psalm 121, here's what the psalmist wrote about that in Psalm 121, verse 1 and 2. He says, I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? It's almost like a song he sings to himself. And he declares this, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. What I've learned is that God often does his best work, not with people who have it all figured out, not with people who have all the strength in the world, but God does his best work through people who understand where their help comes from. Know your superpower. So here's the thing. God has been at work in big ways in our church. He's been at work in so many ways. And one of the tendencies I think we all have in our lives is when we start to see God do something in our lives, there's kind of this superhero mentality where we want to be the hero, you know? Where God is wearing the cape and God is the one whose power is working in us. When God starts doing something, we all have a tendency to point to us and to say, we did this. We accomplished this. I mean, God, there's so many people who have been baptized here. There's kids and teenagers who are learning about Jesus and they're growing in Jesus. We just provided a week of meals a couple Sundays ago as a church to 106 kids during spring break who are going to go without food. So there's all sorts of things like that are going on. And in that moment, it's instead of pointing to the heavens where our help comes from and realizing that this has happened because of the mighty hand of God that is working in and through us, we have a tendency to point here and to say, we did it. We did this alone. And when we do that, when we think for a moment that we have done anything without God's power, that's when we've gotten disconnected from our source. God wants us to be reminded, and I want to tell you, church, as we stand here today on our seventh birthday, that where we are today is because we have constantly relied on the power of God. Not because the church has been so great and the preaching is kind of good, but the music is awesome, and anyway, all that stuff, but because the hand of God has been at work through ordinary vessels. That's the journey that we've been on. The secret sauce is God. It's his power. And so here's the second thing I want you to know about God working in and through you, and it's this. Number two, God uses people who are surrendered to him and available to being used. God uses people who are surrendered to him and available to being used. So here's the question. What is holding you back today from God using you in bigger ways? What is holding you back from being the vessel that God can use in greater ways? Is it worry? Is it doubt? Is it fear? Is it some kind of weakness in your life where you say, well, God can't and God won't and I'll never be enough? Or maybe for some of us, it's just pride. Like, God, I like driving the bus in my life, and you know, you can kind of take the wheel when I start to struggle, but I got this. You know, I don't know what that is for you, but my prayer for you is whatever that is, that today, maybe today would be the day that you lay that down at the foot of the cross, that you open your life as a vessel and you say, God, I'm surrendering this to you. I'm surrendering this to you, and I pray that you would begin to work in me. Like I said, a prayer that God will always answer is, God, use me. You know, a few verses earlier, the Apostle Paul showed a few ways that the Ephesians had been heroic because of God's power in their life. And here's what it says in verse 15, starting verse 15. He says, ever since, now remember, he's writing a letter and he's praying. He says, ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, he says, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. And so Paul points out two qualities that I think God wants all of us to have in our lives. The first quality that's heroic because of their connection to God is this, is Paul realizes their big faith and how they trusted God in big ways. This is, I think, who God wants us to be. Sometimes we love God much, but we trust God so little. And my prayer for you and for our church is that we would be known as people who know where our power comes from, who know where our strength comes from, and that we would begin to have big, bold, risk-taking, bet-the-farm type of faith that's willing to say, God, if you call us to it, we're going to take a step in faith, and we will see your faithfulness because we want to trust you in big ways. That's the kind of people God uses. The second thing that he shows that's a heroic quality is he starts to see, number two, their love for God's people everywhere. He's like, look, because of Jesus in you, Paul is saying the real evidence of God's power working in us is not that we claim to love God. That's, anybody can say it. But the real evidence is the way that you love people. And by the power of God living in you, the way you put that love into action. Church, my prayer is that we would be known by those things, that we would be known as people with bold faith, and as a church with bold faith. But most of all, we would be known by the way we love our community, by the way we love our neighbors, by the way we help everyone to encounter the risen Savior, the power of God that can work in their lives. I want you to know today that there are superheroes among us. There are heroes among us. And they're walking around everywhere, all over our church. And they don't even realize it. In fact, you encountered some of them as you came in the doors of the church. They were some heroes that greeted you today, that opened a door so that you can come and connect with God. There are heroes that are in our kids' ministry and serving in our student ministry right now, who are helping kids and students into a relationship with Jesus and to grow in that. There are some heroes in your refresh group, if you're a part of one of those, small groups that meet in homes, that pray for you. Those are some of your heroes. There's some heroes that come early in the morning to set up this church and stay an hour or more later to break this thing down so that to create an environment so that people can meet with God. There are heroes who are serving in missions, like in our Holly Park mobile home community, in the United Methodist Children's Home, in so many different things, like Meals by Grace. There are heroes who are heroes in the way that they're doing outreach. By the way they're sharing their faith and involved in the community, and by the way that they're inviting people to church. But even that parent who late at night they kneel down and they pray with their child, and it's in this secret place where nobody else sees the investment that you're making, but as you pray with your child, you're teaching them, son, daughter, I want you to know that this is where our help comes from. That's the lesson I want us to learn as a church. It's not about us. It's about God working in you and through you. And so I think it's easy. It's often hard to see how God is using you in the moment. But it's not until we start looking back and seeing the ordinary ways we've trusted God, the ordinary ways we've opened our hand and opened our lives to God, that we can see the power of the hand of God that's been at work in and through us. And so church, let's keep leaning. Let's keep trusting in the power of God. Because the bottom line is this. Heroes are ordinary people who rely on the supernatural power of God. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for this word, and we thank you for the encouragement, God, that you want to do some amazing things in our lives. You want to work in our lives by your power. You want to mold us into the people that you've created us to be. That God, inside of us, if anybody is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. God, I pray also that you would help us to realize that there is resurrection power available to anyone who puts their faith in Jesus, who declares and who prays that, God, for you to be their Savior, for you to be the leader or the Lord of their life. God, I just pray that you would help us to realize that you want to use us in powerful ways. And it's not because of who we are or what we've done, but it's because of your power in us. So God, would you blow into our lives with your dunamis, with your power, and would you send us forth to become the people that you've called us to be, you working through us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.